Good morning, Armindus. It is 10 in terms of my watch. Let me welcome you to this meeting. Just in terms of attendance, we have Honorable Smith, Honorable Dodovo, Honorable Mikolakis, Honorable Maleka, Honorable Bartlett, Honorable Dlamini, Honorable Khadebe, Honorable Ndongini, Honorable Badenhorst. Okay. And I think I'm also aware that we haven't received any apologies. Let me take this opportunity, Honorable Mendes, to welcome you to the meeting. Gershon, you must just indicate to me if I'm not audible. I am currently in a load shedded area, so yeah, please indicate that to me. On Ministers, in terms of the agenda today, we will be dealing agenda items 1 and 2 deals with the Correctional Services Amendment Bill in terms of considering the adoption of the bill, and secondly, in terms of the report of in relation to the bill. The third agenda item deals with the Judicial Matters Amendment Bill in terms of the processing of that. The fourth and fifth agenda item relates to the executive undertakings in terms of our visit to Ugu District as part of Parliament's as part of the NCOP's taking Parliament to the people. So we will be dealing with those items today. Let me then take this opportunity as well to also welcome. I've seen the Deputy Minister of Justice on the platform, the Minister of Police as well, welcome. And I was also made to understand that the Minister of Home Affairs will be joining us soon on the platform as well. Let me take this opportunity to welcome you, Deputy Minister and Ministers, on the platform, as well as there are other officials from the various departments that are also present. Oh, welcome to yourself. Our members, we'll then go into the first agenda item, which is related to the Correctional Services Amendment Bill. In our previous meeting, our members, we considered the three public submissions on the ball, as well as the department's response to the comments. Members will recall that most of the content of the public submissions are related to the principal act and not necessarily to the specifics of the Correctional Services Amendment Bill and the objects of that bill. The department also took an undertaking that these submissions will be considered through the broader review process of the principal act that the department is embarking on. The amendment bill, which is regarded as an interim measure to meet the requirements of the Constitutional Court order on the Sonke case, which was also confirmed by our Parliamentary Legal Services. And we had also, in our deliberations, urged the department also to introduce the related Judicial Inspectorate for Correctional Services Bill to Parliament. That being said, Honourable Members, we'll get into the first agenda item with regard to the consideration and adoption of the Correctional Services Amendment Bill, B14-2023. Members will note that we have not proposed any amendments in relation to the bill. I would open it up for members if you have any comments at this point. If not, Honourable Members, then I would put it to you that we table the Correctional Service Amendment Bill without any amendments. And if members are in agreement, I would want to an indication from Honourable Members for removal for the adoption of the Amendment Bill without amendments. Honourable Mikolakis.
Thank you, Chairperson. I need not so much a comment with regards to the content of the bill itself, but I do think it is necessary that we also just note in the minutes our concern about the fact that, again, a bill has come to us at the 11th hour, despite the fact that the deadline was known a while ago. And again, without much consideration to the NCOP side, the bill was sent to us at the 11th hour. That firstly, and secondly, the other concern is much of this bill depends on further legislation, which will be delayed by the election coming up in 2024. And I do think that must be noted as a concern. But other than that, I do not have any issues. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Glossis. I think those concerns were raised in our very first engagement on this poll and are already also noted in terms of our minutes. Honourable de Dovo?
No, it's okay, Chair. As if Honourable Mikalakis read my mind, I was going to also raise that. And this is perpetual. I think, as I indicated in the past, there is a need to have a discussion between the NA and NCOP so that no matter what, we are afforded more time to engage, to deliberate, and to consider what is before us. And I fully agree with him that this is a concern. But other than that, the bill and all its amendments are supported. Thank you.
Are you moving for the adoption of the bill without amendments, if I understand that?
I do, Chair. I do.
Is there any seconder?
No, I second.
I second, Honourable Chair Bartlett.
Okay, all right. I see there's two. Okay, seconded for the movement of the bill, adoption of the bill without amendments. Are there any objections? None. If not, any abstention? Okay, if none, then on members. Thank you. Okay. All right, none. Thank you, Honourable Members. Then the bill is duly adopted without amendments. The second agenda item, Honourable Members, if you allow me then to table the committee report on the Correctional Services Amendment Bill, which was sent to members, but I'm going to request Gershwin as well to take us through that. Gershwin, over to you.
Good morning, Chairperson, members, ministers and officials. We can just look at the shared screen, Chairperson. We are dealing with a report of the Select Committee on the Correctional Service Amendment Bill, Bill 14-2023, National Assembly Section 65. The bill was referred to the committee on the 19th of September 2023. And the committee processed the bill on 26th October and in newspapers from 27 October to 3 November. This was the advertising period, Chairperson. The deadline for submissions was 10 November 2023, and the committee received three submissions from two individuals and one organization. Just procedurally, the committee received a briefing on the 18th of October and advertised. Then on 15 November, the Select Committee received a briefing on the written submissions. And today the committee has considered and adopted the bill and is considering and adopting the committee report. Just to move to the recommendation, the Select Committee on Security and Justice, having considered the Correctional Services Amendment Bill referred to it on 19 September 2023 and classified by the JTM as Section 75 Bill, recommends the council pass the bill without proposed amendments. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Gershwin. Our members, are there any additions and amendments you would want to make to this report? Okay, if none, can I guess then, if there's a member that would want to move for the adoption of the report?
I move, Honourable Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Bartlett. Any seconders for the adoption? Thank you very much, Honourable Dovo. Are there any objections and or abstentions? Okay, if none, thank you very much, all members. the report of the committee is then duly adopted. Let me thank you very much. We'll then move to the next agenda item, which is the third agenda item, which is the Judicial Matters Amendment Bill. In terms of this bill, honourable members, we received a briefing on the bill on the 18th of October 2023. The bill was advertised for public comments from the 6th to the 17th of November 2023. And honourable members, the committee received one submission from an individual who supports the bill and indicated specific support for the payment of admission of jail fines and the expungement of criminal records. And I think information in this regard was also sent to you, honourable members. I would want to then invite the Deputy Minister and the Department of Justice to perhaps respond and or comment to the submission that was submitted. Let me hand over to yourself, Honourable DM, Deputy Minister.
Thanks, Chair, and good morning to Honourable Members to the Ministers that are present. Chair, there's not really much. I mean, I'm with DDG Pillay. The department did do a, as it always does, a response to the comments, but the response effectively is that the comments noted, as you said, the comment from a Mr. Mokomotsi Khalisiwe, who's from Huhudi in Freyberg, was in support of the provisions of the bill providing for expungements for admission of guilt, particularly because it would help young people or youths who have this albatross around their neck as a criminal record. So he was in support of that. We're pleased that he's in support of it. And all one can say, well, the official response of the comment is noted. Obviously, we are happy with the comment. I don't think there's anything more we can say. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, thank you, DM. Did anyone else have something to say from your department, or that's it you mentioned? Okay, no, it's fine. Thank you. Thank you very much, DM, for that response. Let me then open it up to yourself if you have any comments and or any other issue that you would want to raise with regard to the Judicial Matters Amendment Bill at this point. Okay, then, I think in the next meeting, we'll then look into the report in relation to the bill in our next meeting. That being said, honourable members, we'll then move on to the fifth and sixth agenda item, which deals largely with the executive undertakings. Maybe just indicate to yourself, members, that on the 4th of August 2023, these two executive undertakings were referred to the committee in respect of recommendations made by members in the Ugu district during the Taking Parliament to the People program, which took place in 2022. And I think all members of the committee, we were present in Ugu district. We were part of the public engagements as well as the oversight visits in that area. Certain undertakings were made by both the Minister of Police and the Minister of Home Affairs in that engagement. We've been requested by the House to make a follow-up on these undertakings, which we intend doing today so that we understand what both departments have done, and we are also expected to report back to the House in relation to these executive undertakings. We've also provided members with the AGC ATC and the recommendations in respect of these issues. I see Honorable PM, your hand is up. I take it that you would want to be released.
Yes, Chair, it was just a request. If I can be released. Thanks.
No, my apologies for that, DM. You're most welcome to be released from the platform. And thank you very much. Okay, Honourable Zezo was indicating we will receive a briefing from the Department of Police, firstly, and thereafter we'll receive a briefing from the Ministry of Police in the first case, and second case, the Ministry of Home Affairs, in terms of these executive undertakings. There are six executive undertakings that were referred to us in relation to the Minister of Police, and eight that will be dealt with by the Minister of Home Affairs. So, on Monday, we will deal with the Minister of Police first, in terms of the executive undertakings, and have an engagement if members have any clarity or other seeking questions. Thereafter, we'll then take the briefing by the Ministry of Home Affairs and then engage on those executive undertakings. That being said, Honourable Members, let me hand over to the Minister of Police. I understand he's on the platform. Welcome, Minister, Minister, over to yourself. Welcome, Minister, over to yourself in terms of the six executive undertakings.
Chair, can you hear me? Can anybody hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Minister. But I think your screen was freezing a bit. Maybe you can switch off your camera if you think it will improve the bandwidth.
That's okay. It's easy to do, Chair. Thanks, Chair. Those six executive undertakings, of which we have responded, and then we are called upon to come and make a presentation here. Chair, the delegation that one has here is led by Lieutenant General Mosin Simbun, and then the General Mkhwanazi, Major General Sithole, the Dwaba, but General Mkhwanazi, who is the Provincial Commissioner of KZN, since we all know where Ugu is situated, will be leading those six executive response, of which we can add and talk to them at a later stage, but presentation will be made by General Mkhwanazi. Through you, Chair, I'll request that General Mkhwanazi takes us through those presentations. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Minister. General Mkhwanazi?
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Honorable Chair, I'm not sure if the presentation was given to the committee that I'm going to be presenting to through today, or should I apply it from my side, Honorable Chair?
Thank you very much, General. Yes, we did receive the presentation, but we would also prefer that it be flighted. If you did not, Gershwin, I'm not sure if you have the right to do that. I don't think General Mkhwanazi has that. But if you wish, we can flight it from our side as well. Gershwin, are you able to do that?
I apologize.
Lampo has access, all right. I'm not sure if he can fight it. Question, or could you fight the presentation?
We'll do so too.
Okay, thank you, Honourable Chair. I think we'll just move page by page or slide by slide. As we're presenting, as yes, indeed, taking Honourable Chair refers to the engagement that the commitment was made in the MEC. If I can move to the next page, the MINI as well as the MEC will be visiting the district Mzewabantu district. With regard to the issues that were raised by communities in that area, which involved quite a number of crime, including murders, and that was done. If you move to page 5, please,
General Mkwanazi, I think, I don't know if it's just myself, but really, it's also your, I see your camera is freezing. Perhaps switch off your, oh, I see you'll be off the platform. Okay, members, I think, Minister, Lieutenant General Mkwanazi of the platform, we'll just give him a moment to log on again.
Chair.
Minister.
It does look like our signals, all of Sean Connors is in Durban. I'm in Cape Town. But if it doesn't come, Chair, I don't have a problem of proceeding with the presentation.
Thank you very much, Minister. I think that will assist us. Minister, please continue.
Chair, the undertaking has been raised. The undertaking one, maybe it is a. It would be good to go to the implementation in response to undertaking one. Chair, there's a point form. I don't know who was moving the slides, if the slides can still be moved, Chair. And then we'll move to slide 6. Yes, sir. So the ministerial liaison was done, took place on the 28th November 2022, where commitment was made to the community as it was met. It happened in Harding under Mzewabantu. The task team was established and still active in addressing murder cases there in that area. Members of the South African Police Service, Employee Health and Wellness, visited some of the victims of crime to provide support and counseling. And the task team is still active and functional in that area. Chair, there have been the arrest in the area, and the task team was a multi-task team to work on matters of both investigations, detectives, but also the response in terms of the TROT and the members of the POP in that area. The task team is still continuing, Chair. The undertaking two is there, Chair. If we can just go straight to the implementation of that undertaking, Chair. The construction of the Msinsini Police Station is part of the GIB rural program and is currently operating from a farmhouse that is in the process of the reestablishment on the new site, which has already been cleared. The professional service were appointed and are currently busy with the planning and design phase, which will be completed by 31st March 2024. The bid for the appointment of the contractor will be advertised during April 2024 for award before July 2024. It is envisaged that the site will be handed over to the appointed contractor during September 2024 after the Department of Labor has provided the construction permit. Chair, on the platform we have General Stoll, who is a supply, who works for the supply chain management, and I'm sure she can expand maybe when we discuss how far have we gone with the issue, Chair, of working on the police station, which indeed at the present moment it doesn't serve the communities, quite isolated from the communities, both community of Kwanzama at Kwakolokolo and Kwakwabe at Ispoof. So it's isolated, it's far away from those communities. But as we say, there is a progress, the supply chain will be able to take us through on that one. Chair, the implementation of three that undertaking, the placement of mobile community service center at the South Police Station will be addressed and allocated as soon. I hope I did not jump any. We are
on slide 12.
Well, it's slide 12, yes, Chair. The placement of mobile community service centers at the Southwood Police Station will be addressed and allocated as soon as it becomes available. Chair, we have a high demand of these mobile police stations. Some of them are really more needed than others in terms of distance and in terms of the volume of the community. Saudi, while it does need this, but they will be having a station, five flats, that is not very far from them to respond. So we stagger in terms of the needs. Yes, we are building some of them, these mobile police stations, but as one says, that the expansion of communities without sometimes planning and police getting involved, it gives us some headache in building and chasing the building of these police stations. So there will be these calls will be made. Chair, as I've said, that we can't provide all of them all the same time. So, but indeed, it is on our planning and we're working on it. The Chair will be going to the undertaking of four, executive undertaking and the implementation, Chair. The Chair, the Kamalaka Police Station was constructed by the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure and completed on the 30th August. The process is underway to set a date for the official opening of the police station. What happened, as it was explained, when we were ready to go and open it, there was a huge rain, and in the community center, which is a reception or which is a church office, according to all policing language, there was full of water. So the Department of Public Works had to fix some things on that thing. But Chair, we are told it's fixed now, and the other thing that was raised on the issue was the question of the shortage of police. This station was visited by the National Commissioner, Provincial Commissioner, and the Minister. They raised the issue. Chair, I must say, maybe the inadequacy of the reply here. I must say that is one of the stations that is called the best station commander. I rarely come around, I rarely come across such a station commander who has so much command and so much understanding of the police, of the members and the community at large. They raised the issue of shortage. There have been some members that have been put their check. There have been the vehicles that have been put. There have been the good feedback for some reason. Only last week, that one received the feedback that the station has really maximized its operation, and the community seems to be very much satisfied and happy on the matter, Chair. Chair, the executive undertaking of five, the response, Chair, will be starting at 18. The Minister, through the SAPS and the CSPS, is still investigating viable and affordable options to address the requests from communities and CPFs relating to the, among others, stipends, equipment, meeting fees, and other resources necessary to carry out their functions. Options such as the utilization of expanded public works program and engagement with the private sector to facilitate the resources of CPFs are also being exposed. Chair, if I can expand on this point, Western Cape has been given this opportunity where the expanded public works has been put and has been very much successful. Last week, we also gave awards to that program in Western Cape, where the Premier and the MEC were present. So that's what we are trying to expand and enlarge in the whole country. Unfortunately, the cutting off budget has really pushed us back on trying to work on this, Chair. Point three, a draft resources model will be developed to provide for the minimum standardization for the provision of resources for CPFs as a collaborative exercise between the CPFs, the SAPS, and Provincial Department of Community Safety. The proposed solutions that would be presented is due course, will have to take into account the current system, constraint and the structuring local and international economic climate. As I've said, that we have some pushbacks on the program that we have put because of the fiscal issues. Provision has been made. We're continuing to 19. Provision has been made in the SEPS budget for 2023-2024 for the allocation of the additional funding to empower community policing fora. Chair, next point, an amount of 70 million was allocated to provinces. This is national number, not per province. The 70 million is for national figure that was budgeted for CPFs, not to cover stipends, but to cover a wide spectrum of resources such as transport, laptop, phones, airtime, reflector jackets, safety boots, and stationery, etc. These resources, Chair, they are with the provincial commissioner. If I'm not mistaken, KZN has got 13.5 million. Big portion went to Gauteng, one could just say that 3 weeks ago, Gauteng handed 17 kumbis to the CPFs there around Gauteng. So this money has begun to work. both KZN, they are coming after Gauteng with 13 million each. We hope that provincial commissioners will be working on that. But I know provincial commissioner KZN has been having really a lot of outreach programs, including last week when he was in Fryhead, dealing with the CPFs, working quite on this. So there is quite a good rapport with the CPFs, though it is in unequal in different provinces. But one can see that there is a going on. Guidelines for the effective utilization of budget have been compiled and distributed. They're done nationally, but distributed to provinces. The CSPS will continue to monitor the utilization of the allocated funds as part of its assessment of the SEPS budget and program performance check. If I guess we go to the last one, Chair, the last one, all members of SEPS who are involved in the criminal activities are subjected to disciplinary processes in terms of SEPS discipline regulation. To this end, a total number of 12 SEPS members from the Ugu district were subjected to the disciplinary process after it was found that they had been involved in criminal activities. The status of the disciplinary proceedings against 12 members are as follows. One member was dismissed from SEPS, one member was given a written warning, one member was found not guilty, one member was found guilty and sanctioned to 2 months suspension without salary. Disciplinary proceedings were provisionally withdrawn against 6 members. The disciplinary hearing against 2 members is still in progress. Chairperson, I think for now we'll be end there with our responses. Thanks very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Minister. Let me also thank the Lieutenant General Nkwanazi, who started the process as well, for providing the committee with progress on the undertaking. Our members, let me open it up to yourself. If you have any questions for clarity and or comments that you would want to make based on the progress that we've received, if you can maybe just indicate with the raising the hand function. I have, okay, Honorable Badenoff. Followed by Honorable De Jovo. Let me take you for now, Honorable Badenoff, followed by Honorable De Jovo, and I'll check the hands again. Honorable Badenoff, you were saying?
Jay, thank you very much. My apologies. I'm going to leave my camera switched off. I'm also battling with bandwidth at the place I'm residing at the moment. We've just come out of load shedding, and I don't know if all the cell phone towers have charged their batteries yet. Just a few comments, if I may, and a question or two to the minister. So we note that this participation took place in 2022, so we exactly one year later down the line. And to use your own words, Honourable Chair, when you gave the introduction to this presentation, the purpose of this presentation is what have been done. So to my mind is what have been done to actually assist the people on the ground in the Ugu District Municipality. So what we've learned from this presentation is there's a task team, and the task team is in place, and there has been arrests, but how many arrests and how many of those arrests actually translated into convictions? There's not many specifics there. The mobile community center, we don't know when this will be put into place, if it at all will be put into place. The minister wasn't really very clear because he says there's a shortage of them. The equipment that the minister said is going to via funds to the province, has the CPF actually received any equipment on the ground? There's a list of the criminal activities by members of the police that has been followed up on, and my question in this respect on resolution number 6 would be, Why does it take members of the public to bring this to the attention of the police? Should this not be a normal practice when, you know, in every police station in the country, to keep on investigating, and that's why we have IPED, to keep on investigating corrupt and criminal police. So to my comment would be in closing, to my mind, these undertakings that have been presented has not really translated into anything tangible for the people on the ground. And so, you know, there's a lot of talk of engagements and investigations of options, but 1 year later, nothing really has happened. Thank you, Jane.
Thank you very much, Honorable Badenhorst. I think those are quite a few questions for clarity. Honorable De Dom.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I would like to firstly take this opportunity to thank the Minister for the prompt and solid responses to the undertakings made during our taking Parliament to the people in the Ugu district. This is quite important because issues of policing, safety and security were very much prominent, very key at the time that we visited the Ugu district. I remember very well that I also led a delegation of members of Parliament to one of the police stations, and the issues were raised there. But what made me proud was the fact that the station commissioner was on top of issues in terms of dealing with the issues of crime and in terms of interacting with the communities. That was quite important, and this is what we really need as a country, that collaboration between the police and our communities in the fight against crime. That is quite important. Just a few issues based on what the Minister presented to us, Honorable Chair. Firstly, the issue of the CPFs, I think it's quite important, and I'm very much excited by the fact that some means of traveling and transportation was offered to the community policing forums. My respective view is that this is what you need across the country. We need to enable our CPFs with the necessary support, equipment, material, transport, and all of that, so that in the fight against crime, they must work and assist the police, and that must smoothen their work as an important component of the whole police service in our country. For me, that is quite important, and I would like the Minister to consider that particular fact. In the next financial years, we must find a way of rolling out the support throughout the country so that the CPFs are supported, especially in the crime-riddled areas. And my view is that they must be given priority, whether it is in KZN, it is in Western Cape, it is in Gauteng, where crime and criminality is very rife. But other than that, I'm satisfied with the fact that there is that support that is given to the CPFs. Secondly, on the issue of discipline of the police members who are out of line, it's quite important. And I'm happy about the fact that we did something. Now, General Kell, just some few weeks after we left the Ugu district, there were some killings, political killings. If I remember well, it was the mayor, I don't know, of the district or of the local municipality there, and some officials, including the MM. Maybe you can take this opportunity to enlighten us, to brief us about the development in that respect. What pains me is the fact that I was sharing a session when we were there with our taking parliament to the people, with one of those who was brutally murdered in that sense. And it really pained me that it happened some few weeks after our program in that particular district. Maybe you can take this opportunity to enlighten us with regard to the developments in that particular case. Lastly, I'm happy, and I'll tell you why I'm happy. I'm happy about the fact that your work encapsulates all the provinces, including the Western Cape. What you've just said to us, indicating Hello. That you...
Yeah.
Minister
Mutsuli.
Okay. Thanks.
Honourable Dodo, please continue. Yes, I was making, this is the last point, I was making the point that I'm happy about the fact that you collaborate, you work with all the provinces, including the Western Cape. No province is an island. We have a national police service that must serve the whole country. And for the mere fact that you're reporting to us this morning that you're working with the Western Cape on a particular, you work with them on a particular program, including the Premier, the MEC, and all important relevant stakeholders. It gives us a sense that, yes, indeed, we need that collaboration, because Western Cape is not immune from all of us. It is part of our country. Delft yesterday was regarded as the highest rated area in terms of murder in this country. We've got to give it the necessary attention like you did throughout the country, and no province is isolated and immune from the whole strategy that that deals with crime, and I'm happy about that particular fact. And in that sense, I really want to congratulate you and thank you and say keep it up. This is what we need, and we need that all-around offensive against crime in our country. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honourable Dodohu. Okay, there's no other member. I think from my side, Honourable Minister, I'm also covered to some extent, but perhaps this clarity, especially with regard to time frames on two aspects. The one is in relation to the placement of the mobile community centre at Sawoti Police Station. Is there a time frame for that? And the second issue, Minister, with regard to the Ramalake station handover, I think your presentation indicates that a process is underway to set a date for the opening. Perhaps if you could indicate if there is a date when the station will be officially opened. I think those are just other issues. I think Honourable Dodohu covered me to a large extent, as well as Honourable Badenoff to some extent. Honourable Minister, let me then hand over to yourself just to provide clarity in terms of the questions that are being raised. Minister, over to yourself.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, the people of Ugu, they called on us. The big cry was at Umzwabandi, and that is Hardink. There were killings there, especially the killings were around the taxi industry in the area. That was our response, to go there and listen to the people of which we did. They raised the issues specifically now for Umzwabandi, not just for Ugu. Since even at the Ugu Imbizo, the Ugu event of the NCOP, specifically much more in here, so we had to go there. Fortunately, Ugu Chairperson is one area that this minister will understand much, much better in the Republic of South Africa than other places, including the people there, including the communities. Where we were in Kamalake, we were almost about about 20 cases from where this minister was born, and spend a lot of time in the township where we were, and understanding the hurting very well. So we had to go and respond, Chair. Maybe it can take a long time to explain what people raised there. Ours was to respond, and we responded, Chair. I must say, Chair, maybe people that have been sentenced, I haven't had, maybe I didn't take that, but I know that more than 12 people involved in the murder there have been, and more than 9 of them, they are still in custody, and some of them are caught going. So we are leaving the task team there because we have been receiving a feedback from the mayor, who is a young mayor, saying yes, there's been a change, there's been a improvement, but they fear that if we withdraw those extra resources that have been sent there, the thing might come back. That is why, Chair, that we are still there in Umzoabantu, which happens to be in Harding. There are quite several amakhosi there, but the real trouble was happening in the town, in the middle of the town, of town center, because Deftet is not a city center in Harding, it would be a town. So we are continuing to monitor it. We are satisfied. We hope that the thing will be eradicated and we'll be able to make the people of that place live quietly and peacefully under normal policing, of which we believe that the police personnel will be improved as we are releasing the second batch of 10,000 that will be finally released on the 15th by the President of the Republic of South Africa to go back to these places, and we believe that the improvement on the personnel and warm bodies at the stations will be better, which then will enhance the local policing rather than the task teams around the area. That's the first around Umzoabantu, Chairperson. The second one, Chair, as I've said, the time frame, I'll go back to that. I know that we have a long list. I'll have to check where is Sawoti at. But as I said, Chair, when the people of that area, Sawoti, they've requested this, the capacity of the surrounding station, especially the high set station, of which I visited about 5 weeks ago, and the only thing I discovered that was bad at the police station is that they have a generator which is not working. Unfortunately, I found that police were writing their documents and their affidavit under the cell phone lights there. I have made a request more than many times now to Public Works to fix that engine, that generator, which has not been fixed up to this point after I have visited the 5 weeks and I have raised with the issue, which is a known problem in both NCOP and in the National Assembly and the Portfolio Committee, that we do face problems in the maintenance of these stations, that they fall under the Public Works. We have made a request, and that police station has the better capacity of working towards Sawoti. Indeed, that is why, Chair, that though Sawoti is listed on the matters of the station, its need is less than others. And I'll have to check, Chair, to say where is it in the list. But to say it will fasten and jump some stations which are really serious. For instance, in around the same area, there is a place called Kwamgaye, Chair. Kwamgaye, if people, they go to police station Umzindo, they pay almost 60 rand, and if they go to the station called High Flat, they pay 60 rand. So they're in the middle of nowhere. So that to us is more urgent than where there is a station in the radius of 20 kilometers, because South will be in the radius of 20 kilometers in the station with the station of High Flats. That we have now of the Tkwamgaye, which is still at Ogweni. We do have the mobile that is supposed to be delivered. It was to be delivered at a certain given point, but there was a lot of rain in that particular day and the road was destroyed. But that one is ready to be delivered. In the same, could not have been raised in particular meeting where we were, but that's what we're doing. So, Chair, I might come back with exact date when do we think we deliver the South one. But broadly, we understand and we agree that we'll have to get it. But the need is not pressurizing like it would be like places called Kwamukai and Mthwalume, which is the same district. Uko. That's that. Chair, Kamalake, police station. We have 13 police stations to be handed over in the province of KZN. One of them has just been handed over. And Kamalake falls at the end of January, where it will be formally handed over by end of January, Chair. But as I said, that the life has been improved in terms of sending extra police, extra van, and with a wonderful, wonderful, excellent station commander of that area who's working very well with the communities. Chair, the CPFs, as I've said, the 70 million was budgeted by the department for the first time ever that the budget for the CPFs was ever done in the Republic of South Africa. It was the first time ever. And that money has been divided on the strength of the provinces. As I've said, that is Gauteng has received, I think, about 20 million. The following provinces, that would be KZN and Western Cape, both 13 million, I think. Eastern Cape received about 6.5 million, going down and all. It's up to the CPFs together with the commissioners, provincial commissioners. And I went on to say, provincial commissioner of KZN, Chairperson, is very, very much active on the matters of CPF. 2 weeks ago, I had a meeting in Gwamashu where he was with the communities, and the evidence was given by the members of the CTF that is their best place with their PC there. And all the things have been given by the CPFs on different areas. And last week, the very last weekend, there was a meeting in Freiheit, also by the PC together with the CPFs there. I think in receiving of the list of demands, it can't be everything at the same time. As you have said, that we have started slowly. 13 million will go and cover some ground, but we won't finish everything that they need. As I've said, provinces have started to give this money. I've spoken to Chair Miss Lucas in Western Cape too. They have given the lead. They are beginning to get their priorities. Their priority, almost everybody is transport, and the gear for the members, also the communication, things like air times and all those things. They are working with their provincial commissioners. We are very much satisfied that the start has been good on dealing with those matters going forward. Chairperson, The Honourable Dodovo raised the issue of the murders, political killings in that province. I'm told we are debating that in the same house in the not very distant future. Maybe more details will be given on that understanding. But Chair, a significant progress has been made in that province when it comes to the political killing, including traditional. Maybe as I've said, that we'll be debating that, more details will be given. But about 336 people have been arrested in the province because of the political killings. 18 of them are doing life sentence. 38 of them that are doing between 10 and 73 years. This is what I have at the present moment without really taking on board the details of the latest is what I have. When you go to Ugu per se, Councillor Mlife was killed at Ugu. The arrest has been made for the death of Councillor Mlife, and Councillor Tsele was also killed at the place of Margate, which is Ugu. Somebody has been arrested, sentenced. I can come back with the sentence. I know that has been sentenced for Councillor Tsele. For Councillor Mlife, people are caught going. Unfortunately, two people that were arrested are the members of the South African Police Service based in Umkomazi Police Station, who put the trigger to kill that councillor there. So we are responding. The political task team doing the very good work. As I said, Chair, that with the debate that is coming, one would put the extra light on that matter. Chair, the Ugu is one problematic area when it comes to the taxi industry issues. Where we were, one thing that was raised was the high level of murder. Somebody has been arrested there, and if I'm not mistaken, is doing almost plus or minus 65 years. Because of the murders that have been happening. That person will be working more on broadly Ugu rather than Umzwabantu, though he's based in Poshefstein per se, but will be operating with his Takari things up to Umzwabantu, Umzinto, and around that. He has been arrested and he's going other cases. And unfortunately, that person also used to be the member of the CI of the police, and that person has joined the taxi industry as an inkadi of that area. So there have been serious arrests in that area, and there, especially around the taxi industry, which is a national problem, especially in other provinces, including Western Cape, Eastern Cape, KZN, Gauteng, Limpopo, where there are more problems about the taxi industry. So, but KZN also seems to be the center of that kind of trouble. Chair, most of the people that are arrested there as Zinkabi, they will work across the board. You arrest them, the killing of political killing, and you find that is involved in the taxi industry killing, is involved in the house robberies, is involved in the cash heist, and those are the kind of the people that you have arrested there. If you go to Senzo Meiwa case, accused number 5, who comes from Nongoma in KZN, is already doing a 6 life sentences, including the murder of the ANC councillor Tami Nyembe in Nongoma, but also killing people in the taxi industry and killing people for robbery. So that's the kind of people that you get in that particular province. So it's important, Chair, to understand that while there are these problems, there is a lot and maximum effort from the law enforcement across the board, to the courts and everybody, to try and push back on the criminality in that province. That should be my few explanations on the matters that have been raised. We believe, Chair, that on the matters that were raised in Okwini, we have moved. Yes, there are some matters to be finalized, but we believe that we have really moved, started early as November 2022 to respond to the issues raised by the people of this area. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Minister, for the responses to the questions raised by members. Members, are there any follow-up that you would want to do? Okay, none. Okay, if there's none, Minister Lemmy, once again, thank you and the team from the Department of Police for being present in this meeting, as well as for providing us with progress in terms of the executive undertakings that were made by yourself, Honourable Minister, as well as your response to what members have raised in terms of clarity-seeking questions. Minister, maybe just to indicate to yourself that obviously as a committee, we would be considering the undertakings, your responses, and we'll be developing our own report and recommendations that will go to the House for adoption, and I'm sure Minister, you would be following that process as well. But let me take this opportunity to thank you and thank your team. You're welcome to remain on the platform if you wish, but if you wish to leave the platform, you're also welcome to do that. Thank you, Honourable Minister and your team. Our members, we'll move then to the next set of executive undertakings. Honourable Motsoaledi had joined us, the Minister of Home Affairs had joined us while we were busy with the previous undertakings. Welcome, Minister. We did welcome you earlier as well. But in essence, Honourable Minister, the executive undertaking that was made by yourself in relation to the Ugu district, where the NCOP's program of taking Parliament to the people was undertaken. Minister, these executive undertakings were referred by the NCOP to the committee on the 4th of August 2023. I think the Department of Home Affairs has about 8 executive undertakings that we would expect yourself to provide us with the progress that the department has made in relation to these undertakings. I'm going to hand over then to yourself, Honourable Ministers, and to take us through the progress on the those undertakings. Honourable Motsoaledi, over to yourself.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chair, the 8 undertakings which we sent in writing to the NCOP last week, as you look at them, you'll realize that they are not really specific for Ugu district. They are generalized for the whole country, which means you are likely to find them everywhere where you go. And we are dealing with them in that particular manner, as we deal with generally problems that afflict us in home affairs, like the first one of people being turned away because a specific number is wanted. We are dealing with this matter with the Ministry of Finance, because it is part of the great, great shortage of staff in the Department of Home Affairs. Home Affairs had a staffing level of 39% only. And after engaging the Minister of Finance, he gave us 266 million, which moves us only to 42% staffing. We discussed with the presidency that if the president can really push and force the Department of Finance to leave us at least at 66% staffing level, 60% rather. We have not yet we didn't win that battle, so we are still at 42. So some of the office members try to find their innovative ways of how to deal with the crowds. I just thought I need to give that background, but I want to give it to the acting director general of the department now, Mr. Tulani Mavuso, who is the one who compiled this report, to take you through, and I'll help him. Maybe I'll make input after he is finished. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Minister. Over to yourself, Mr. Mabuzo.
Thank you very much, Minister. Thanks, Chairperson. As the Minister has indicated, the first undertaking that was made during the outreach was that we are going to ensure that officials at all offices are informed not to send away clients. In particular, because some of clients would have waited for longer. That office managers need to make what are called interventions. What has been happening is that all the provincial managers that are working with me, we have informed them that offices where there's likelihood that you might exceed the time allocated, they would then call for authorization to extend the office hours. And we are actually implementing that. In most instances, you'd find that all they would need is two or three officials to finish wherever that is there, and then we'll just grant the hour or 30 minutes or 2 hours of overtime in this regard. We did the same also with this past weekend, so that no client has been turned away. But Chair, one of the things that has worked very well was the what are called the rollout of the appointment system, which has been instrumental in ensuring that we reduce the number of clients being returned, even though we still implement a hybrid model where we allow booked clients and the walk-ins. Also, the minister has met with all provincial managers, the district managers, operations for all the districts, because what we have structured our called organizational model, taking into consideration the municipal demarcations, where the districts municipalities, we appoint a district manager operations for that, and also the provincial manager. So all office managers, the minister has met with them to address various issues it's pertaining to the performance and also in terms of conducting and serving clients. So
Has Mr. Mavuso disappeared, or is it only me?
No, Mavuso, you need
can't
to
hear you.
Did you need to unmute?
Oh, my apologies, Chairperson. I don't know what muted me because I'm seated down. So what I want to indicate, Chair, that on the second undertaking is the issue of the increase of mobile units. We're currently sitting with 127 mobile units. In this financial year, we added 20, and then in the next financial year, we're adding another 100, so that will bring the additional to be 120. There are 14 mobile units in KZN, so it will obviously the next financial year will add more mobile units. The province received 3 trucks in this financial year from the 20 that I've made reference that were acquired, and the 3 of which were allocated in Tumgeni office, Pongola and Zululand district, and also to Ikopo office in Herigwala district. So the offices will benefit now in terms of the outreach programs, but also we are going to ensure that in the 15 that are coming from the 100 that we are buying this financial year, KZN obviously will ensure that UGU also benefits from those particular mobile units that will be given to KZN, which will be 15. We're also introducing the self-service kiosk. We've already received them. So we are busy just with the integration with our system so that, again, we are able to increase our footprint. So that's the second undertaking, Chairperson. Then the third one was around acquisition of mobile offices with satellite dishes to minimize disruption during load shedding. We are in the process in terms of procuring those. The reason why it delays is not only because of budget, but we also wanted to test the stability of these flat panels, satellite dishes for our mobile trucks. But just safe to say that where we are currently is that most of our mobile trucks are now connected through MTN and Vodacom routers. And they are working well in where during load shedding, because what happens is that the trucks all have the they have the generators. The biggest problem would be if maybe the truck is located in an area where there's load shedding and the towers do not have batteries to support them. That obviously it does impact on them. But obviously the beauty of the satellite dish is that it will not be impacted by that, because obviously it connects differently from these other mobile units, Chairperson. So that's something that we are looking at. But so far, if the towers of Vodacom and MTN are working, the mobile units work correctly. Then the fourth undertaking, Chair, was around to guard against identity theft, where we are saying that we continue to register BETs within 30 days as part of the strategy to make sure that we manage the issue of identity theft. But one of the issues that also I'll talk about maybe in the next slide is around the introduction of the biometrics early enough for children to avoid, again, people presenting themselves when they turn 16 as if this is their identity, only to find that it's a stolen one. Part of the strategy, we are also moving birth registration from our local offices to health facilities. Obviously, we are working together with the Department of Health nationally. But also they are allocating spaces in health facilities so that we serve there. Chairperson, in the country, we've got 1,445 health facilities that have got maternity wards, but 1,099 of those, they give beds that are less than 500 a year. So which is about 8% of all the bed occurrences in the country. So the 346 health facilities that we have indicated there, they account for 92% of beds. So our take is, if we're able to ensure that the 346 are fully connected, then 92% of beds can be actually captured within 30 days. And then the 8%, which is happening in the 1,099 facilities, those are the ones which we are looking at creating a mobile device that we can be able to capture them if they don't come to our offices. In terms of those facilities, because for us to set up a fully functioning facility at the health facility where there's just less than 500 a year, it means in some days there will be no beds at all in that facility. So, and to equip that, it takes quite a huge investment. So that's why we thought we need to look at these four priority hospitals, which is priority 1 to 4, that gives us the 92% of beds. So we are in the process of connecting those particular APED registration Chairperson. Chair, as the Minister has indicated on undertaking number 5, that one of the interventions we are making is to look at working or providing services closer to the malls, Chairperson. So where we are, Chair, is that we have a concept now that we have developed in places like Menlyn Mall, which the Minister opened in March this year, to ensure that, you know, we have clients who have all the facilities that they need, whether is it ablution facilities, parking, also the convenience of being able to do other activities while they are waiting to be serviced in our offices. So the concept of Menlyn has worked very well, and the office obviously has been able to take pressure from other offices within the area. And when it comes to KZN, we have a plan to relocate the Pinetown office to Pavilion Mall. We'll try to actually find an alternative place in Pinetown without any success. So our take is that the office is just 13 kilometers from the current office, and there's also access in terms of transport to get into that office. So relocating it to a Pavilion will not deprive the people of Pinetown the services, because it's still within the same radius. Then, Chair, there was an issue relating to the digitization of records, because part of the issues were when some of the community members that were there raising issues of waiting for long for documents, whether it's amendments of their birth certificates or personal records. And I think they're indicating from the indication therefore from the minister was that we are digitizing the almost 350 million records, and they're also employing graduates to be able to help with the digitization. I'm happy to say that the project is in full swing. Where we have delayed is in relation to finalizing the digitization hubs. Again, Chairperson, the challenge of getting facilities that are ready made, there's been one of the delays in this area, but we are on track now. We brought in our first cohort of graduates who are currently with us. They are working, and we are going to be issuing letters now in December also for the next cohort. And then we will complete the whole cohort next year. And then where we are, we've just digitized as of this past Monday. When the report was presented, we had talked about 7 million images that have been digitized. Where we are by this past Monday, we are at 9.2 million of the records that have been digitized. So we are on track to ensure that this undertaking is or met. And then the next one, Chair, was the issue of addressing corruption. We have indicated that the biometrics, which includes obvious retina or iris recognition, are going to be introduced to cap fraudulent, sketch of fraudulent documents, and also arrests are being made concerning that particular matter. Where we are, Chair, we've got an automated biometric identification systems, which has introduced the facial recognition capability. So basically, even when we do our kiosks, we will be able to verify the face of the person. We will be able to do the iris biometric. So we are planning to finalize that by the end of this current financial year, so that those modalities of different biometrics are introduced in order to cap fraud. But the other thing that we are also doing, Chairperson, is the infant footprint. We are working with One Health facility in Pretoria as part of testing the equipment that we have for ABIS. Is to capture the footprint for the newborn, and then we'll capture them also after 6 months, and then so that as the mothers come to the facilities, because we want to ensure that the very same footprint that is captured when the child comes there to apply for an ID when they turn 16 is still the same. And even though the minutiae on the footprint grows as the child grows older, but the patterns do not change. So that's a scientific analysis that was done for us by this CSIR. Chair, the last one undertaking was on the SA Connect to try and ensure that we get more stable provision of broadband. So this the broadband connectivity is a mandatory service only provided by CETA. So for now, they've indicated that they are not yet ready to implement phase two of SA Connect, which will obviously increase the access to broadband and ensure that offices do not struggle with connectivity, because we still struggle with a number of offices in terms of connectivity, particularly those that are located in far-flung locations. Chair, in a nutshell, those are the eight undertakings that were made by the Minister, Chairperson. So we will therefore hand over back to the Minister. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, DG. Minister?
Yeah, perhaps because it was so clear, let me take questions. Let me wait for colleagues to raise questions. Then it's then that I'll respond, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Minister and DG, for providing us with the progress on these executive undertakings. Well, members, do you have any questions for clarity that you would want to ask to the Minister of the Department? Okay, I'm seeing Honourable Bardenard. Perhaps you could start with yourself.
Yeah, thank you very much. For as much as the Department of Home Affairs, and this is generalization, there's a long list of things that will be done, and this is a general undertaking for the whole country, but with all respect, I think the there was a reason why we took Parliament to Ugu, and the people in Ugu raised specific concerns, And I don't think their specific problems with the Department of Home Affairs has been addressed here. I think it's just a generalization. Every single one of those undertakings could apply to everywhere in the country, for that matter. So I don't really see how the people of Ugu are going to be sorted out with these undertakings. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Dittle.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. I want to take this opportunity to welcome the presentation from the Minister and the DG. This is quite comprehensive in respect of the undertakings and commitments that the department made during our taking Parliament to the people's session in at the Ugu district. I'm quite excited about the fact that mobile support is there, especially in rural areas. And I really would like to thank the department, but further request the department to ensure that specifically throughout the country we target the rural areas, the villages, the farm areas, because those vulnerable communities need the services the most, and most of them do not have the necessary documentations, necessary papers, they don't have the IDs, and if they can be targeted further, it will really enhance the prestige of the department itself, given the good work that the department continues to make, Honorable Chair. That's the first thing that I want to raise. The second thing is that my own personal experience in the last 6 months, I've seen the registration of children at birth very, very much fast, very, very much speed. A child is born today, tomorrow, or even the same day, there is an official from the Department of Home Affairs who comes to record the department. I didn't even know that, but I've experienced it because I was there. I saw it by myself. But Honorable Motsoaledi, just a point. We had to call back the official from the Home Affairs because she had not written the names properly. And I would really would want us to ensure that some training happens and the officials who are registering children, they pay attention to this particular point. I had to return them personally myself. There is a need. You miss one letter here. That is quite important. We know that the situation in the current dispensation has much way improved. In the past, the names used to be wrong, not properly registered. The IDs used to be wrong. The ages of people used to be just a hell of a confusion. And the situation is incomparable. You can't compare with the past. But my plea is that let's just pay attention and show that our officials pay attention to that, because you miss something, it's not auguring well. Some of my family members, they don't use V at the end, Dodovu. They use F, and it always irritates me when I see that F at the end. It's a historical problem, but I think we need to find ways of addressing it and improving it in this current dispensation. And that's my plea, that we need to pay attention to that. The last issue pertains to the offices. I'm happy that with the main lane, with the other one from Pinetown to the other mall in Devon, you are really, really taking this service of Home Affairs to the people, because this is where people are congested. But again, Honorable Minister, I must raise it here, and the DG, you know my problem in my constituency in Matosan. I always raise this particular matter. Last time I did discuss it with the DG to say that center, it is, I don't know what to call it, cantankerous. It's not okay. It is not conducive for for our people. We need an improvement. And what I like about our people is that they love the Department of Home Affairs, because that is where their daily life is. That is where their daily routine is, whether it is birth, it is death, it is registration, it is passport, it is ID. They are always there at the Home Affairs. And that convenience for them, it is very, very much important, so that they must really, really be ascertained and be satisfied that we are running a caring government that ensures their comfort and sustainability in that sense. And I would really just request you to look at that particular matter. I know that the problem is not per se with you, but it is this bureaucratic red tape within the Department of Public Works. But by my plea is that this must be given the necessary attention. Other than that, I'm happy with the six responses, Chairperson, to the undertakings that the department made during our taking parliamentary the people session at the Ugu district. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Dodo. It's eight undertakings, just to correct you. It was six for police. Honorable Samai?
Thanks, Chairperson. Chairperson, I was just want to ask Minister Aaron Motsoaledi, because in Johannesburg and other areas, they are doing a very great job by arresting the foreigners and undocumented people. Here in Cape Town, there's a man who make an ID, not a visa, with a birth certificate. And I follow that. His name is KT Sabari Yuku Adam Valley. This man, he used a certain lady with his birth certificate, not ID, to apply for a visa. And I went to the immigration. I went to Andres Jackson. You know Andres Jackson.
I wish the day.
But what surprised me, these people who are doing this because they have money, they are carrying guns, the police, they fear them. When you give information that this man is illegally in South Africa, can somebody apply a visa with a birth certificate? And here's the proof. Can we go to your head office? And they find that it's like that. The immigration, they fear to arrest this man. What must be done when we arrest these other African people and this side people are being allowed to do a birth certificate, apply with a birth certificate for visa? What's wrong with our officials? Why do they fear these people? Because this man is still here. I'm in Cape Town now. The Honorable Peggy Kelly can bring more than six, not six or police officers, two police officers. Because I was there, I have photos of the guy. Nothing is happening. I thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Motsamai. Okay, Honorable Minister, I think those are largely the questions for clarity from honorable members. Perhaps I would want to add one more, and I know, Honorable Minister, you've been dealing with this issue also through questions that are asked in the House, and this is in relation to the challenge with regard to the implementation of phase two of SA Connect. And it's as indicated, the CETA is not ready to implement this. But perhaps if you could maybe give us more light in terms of whether you in terms of your engagements with CETA, there has been any breakthrough, especially with regard to whether there's some kind of time frame when this matter will be addressed. Thanks, Honourable Minister. Over to yourself and your team to deal with the response.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chairperson, for the opportunity. The first question from Mr. Badenhorst about specific. Chair, I was waiting eagerly with the hope that he might give an example and say, for instance, Sergeant, a specific question from Ugo was not answered. The aid undertakings we are making here are based on the issues that people in Ugu have raised with us. And I said, the issues they've raised with us are not specific for Ugu only. They happen in other areas. So when we solve these undertakings, we solve them for Ugu and all the other areas. But if there is any specific question that we left behind that was raised in Ugu, can Mr. Badenhorst please help us? We will be able to deal with that. Please do help us and show us what is the specific one that we have not yet mentioned that is not helping the people of Ugu. The question from Honorable Dodovu, the issue of registering people in hospitals, as the acting DG has said, in the bigger hospitals, we have actually divided them into five categories. In the bigger hospitals where they deliver more than 5,000 babies a year, we establish a big office there, which is full-time. In the hospitals where they deliver less than 500 babies per annum, that's where we send the official to come in. The nurses call them, or they've got a roster to come in all the time, and that's what we've observed. Now, on the issue of spelling names wrongly, yes, there's been tremendous progress in home affairs, unlike in the past, as you're saying. But I guess maybe to err is human, or is, you know, people do commit errors time and again, such that in the department, or not only home affairs officials, even clients themselves that sometimes do commit these mistakes and give you a wrong spelling of a same name, not deliberately, but just a mistake, as I'm saying, to err is human. That is why the Department of Home Affairs has got a directorate, a full directorate that deals with, it's a full-time directorate, because these mistakes are not just temporary. They happen all the time. So the directorate deals with, is a directorate of corrections, amendments, and rectifications. And this, which means the rectifications, the amendments, and the corrections happens all the time, be it the wrong date of birth, be it a misspelling of the same name, be it changes in same names, as Honorable Dodovia said. That's why many people have got same names that are spelled differently, because some of them just leave. They don't really go to change the manner in which the same name is spelled. Like my same name, Mutwali. There are very close relatives, including brothers, who spells it with a W. I opted to go and change when I got an opportunity, because it's an O and not a W. But some said, look, we've been living like this and we can leave it. Now, it is for these reasons that we are looking forward to the project announced by the president in the 2022 State of the Nation Address of hiring this 10,000 unemployed graduates to digitize 350 million records. And how do they relate to this issue of rectification? Because when you rectify somebody's say name or date of birth or what, you don't just do it because they are telling you so. You've got to go into the archives and check the records, what it looked like and what is the problem and how did it change. Because if you just change it because people are telling you, there will be chaos in the country. And perhaps it's important for members to understand that chaos. There are people who go to change their date of birth because they want their IDs. Obviously, their ID numbers will change. But when they change their date of birth, they may change it to get older so that they go to SASA quick. And that's how some of the people do, change. And they just claim that, no, I was not born in this state, it's a mistake. When actually is because he's targeting SASA. Others may actually reduce their age because they don't want to retire and they are waiting for a company which has got a very clear retirement age. And when they realize they're about to reach that age, they just come and claim that my name is not correct and all that. So I'm just giving you some of the dynamics dealing with. So we do change wherever we find a mistake. Sometimes we take time because we need to go to these records. Once the records are digitized, it will be something that is done within minutes. And that's why we're looking forward to that. Honorable Dodovu, the Matosana of constituency, we look into it. By the way, honorable members, it might not be the only one. Remember that I raised this issue quite a number of times before. Perhaps in Parliament I did, in the National Assembly I did, maybe not in the NCOP. You are aware that Home Affairs is doing the same work as schools, as clinics, as hospitals, as police stations. We are saving the public in terms of public services in like those institutions. But all those institutions have been built specifically for that purpose. In other words, they are custom made. When you build a school, you know exactly how a school must work, where it must be situated, and what it needs. When you build a hospital, same thing, as well as a police station. But Home Affairs officers are not like that. You go to public works, they hire them out for you. Sometimes we don't even have a choice. We just said we look for an office, and they've decided where it must be because it's a lease with public works. And quite a number of these offices they lease are not custom made. They are troublesome. They cause us a lot of trouble because somebody built it for something else and we come and use it as Home Affairs. That's why when we go to the malls, they just give us the shops and we start custom making them. In other words, we start putting them in a way Home Affairs will be able to function. But the other offices is a problem. Even geographic areas where they are, we have spoken to public works. That's why we are building custom-made Home Affairs offices. And in this regard, we can quote one in Mokopane, Limpopo, which we are about to open officially. We can quote one in Toyando. We can quote one in Dau. We can quote one in Guadiguza. All of them are custom-made and placed in areas where there will be parking, there will be space, etc. And so that's the new mode we have followed. Together with the malls, because the malls have got space and all that. And we believe if we go in that direction, we might alleviate the problem that Honorable Dodovi has mentioned. And so we look into it throughout the whole country. Now, we have also decided, Honorable Members, that the best mode of delivering Home Affairs services is through the mobile trucks. That's why we've even given them a new name, which is emblazoned at the back of every truck, Home Affairs on Wheels. We believe when Home Affairs are on wheels, they are able to be flexible to serve people because you can put the truck anywhere you want. As Mr. Mavuso has already said, it has got connections from MTM, etc. Whereas a static office, if there is no connectivity in that geographic area, there's nothing you can do until the Department of Communications maybe come with this South Africa Connect, which is a program to connect all the police stations, schools, clinics, and Home Affairs offices, especially in rural areas. Now, that program is not in our hands. It's in a different department, but the mobile trucks are definitely in our hands. And because they are so flexible, they can move wherever, anytime, and people that don't have to travel, paying transport money and all that. We prefer them, and that's why all throughout the years, Home Affairs have been having 100 trucks. As Mr. Mavuso has said, we're actually increasing them. We are about to receive an extra 100 trucks, which will be able to distribute accordingly. On the questions of Honorable Mutamai, please bring that case to us. There is a belief that the department is scared of tackling people from other countries. We only tackle those who are from the African continent. It is not necessarily true. We do that. You may remember that when it comes to fraud, in March last year, in full view of the public, we arrested a gentleman from Pakistan who was a kingpin to defraud our passports. And it's not the only one. We keep on taking action. You may remember that sometimes this year, we returned 67 Pakistani nationals from OR Tambo International Airport who were coming into the country falsely using e-visas. In the same week, some days later, we confronted 11 from the same country who were entering through Cape Town International Airport. And also in Cape Town, you'll remember that lady from Russia who was coming to a party and came with no document and went to court and claimed that she's a refugee and all that. And you remember that we teared her apart. We had to make an agreement with her out of court because we didn't really want to lengthen the story, that she must apologize to the people of South Africa, she must give up this and that, she must pay for our lawyers, and she must never come to South Africa in the next 5 years. So I'm just trying to say, we don't choose where people come from. As long as they are wrong and they breach immigration laws, we'll definitely take action. Many of you might have seen on the show Truth to Power with Dr. J.J. Tabane last week on Monday, how he called me about the story of a German executive, very high executive, who was trying to manipulate us to get critical skill visas even without applying. You are aware that I publicly condemned that action. I explained what has happened, and I clearly said the fact that you come from a very highly developed country like Germany doesn't mean we are going to allow you to play games or play marbles in South Africa. So I want to assure you, the Department of Home Affairs, Honorable Motsamai, doesn't choose where people come from. We just deal with the wrong as happened. So the information we have given, I would like you to hand it over after this session because we can give it to the counter-corruption. You might be aware here that we are the only government department, the only one, that is for the branch, meaning an area headed by DDG, a branch called counter-corruption. Other government departments do have a director, risk management, chief director, etc. But in Home Affairs, it's a whole branch because we take the whole issue very seriously. That branch worked very closely with immigration, and they did report to the portfolio committee in the National Assembly that 60% of the corruption they deal with at any one time is about immigration issues. There are other types of corruption, like giving birth certificate wrongly and all that, but they said 60% of their work is about immigration. That's where most of the corruption is found. Thank you. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Oh, no, Chairperson, your last question about CETA. Oh, my God. The meeting I come from of International Cooperation Trade Industry, the cabinet committee chaired by the president, in which the deputy president was also present, dealt with this issue because every time we talk IT, the issue of CETA comes to the fore. Not only in Home Affairs. The only reason why you hear CETA a lot in Home Affairs, honorable members, is because when it comes to IT, the Department of Home Affairs is very dependent on that. There are government departments that can go on and function without a lot of IT. Like I was in health for 10 years. I don't remember us being held back because of IT issues. But in Home Affairs, they hold you all the time. And if anything happens to because of CETA problems, Home Affairs will be the hardest hit at any one time, even though many government departments are also served by CETA. So we raise it all the time. We reported to you that we are even engaged in CSIR, the Center for Industrial and Scientific Research, to try and help us on this issue. But we have not made inroads, honorable member, about our engagement with CETA. I've already written 3 letters to 3 different ministers who were in communication dealing with CETA, and I haven't really got pressure on any one of them. That's why we thought at the level of the president, he must enter the fray, and we're hoping something will happen. Otherwise, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honourable Minister, for those responses. Honourable members, is there any follow-up that anyone has? Okay, I'm not seeing any. Let me take this opportunity then, Honourable Minister, to thank you and your team for providing the committee with progress in terms of the executive undertakings that were made by yourself, Honourable Minister. As a committee, we are going to consider the progress as well as issues that emanated from this engagement with yourself, and we would develop a report with certain recommendations that we would make to the council, the National Council of Provinces. We are expected to report that on progress in terms of these undertakings, and I'm sure Honourable Minister, you would probably also follow that process. Thank you very much, Honourable Minister, and your team. I think we are done with the agenda item that relates to yourself. Let me also thank Honourable Members for your attendance and participation in this meeting. I think today we've engaged three different ministries, the one of Justice, the other of Police and Home Affairs. And I think, yeah, we've actually managed to get quite a lot done. Honourable Members will then proceed in our next meeting to deal with the reports in relation to the Judicial Matters Amendment Bill, the executive undertaking in relation to the Department of Police, as well as the executive undertaking in terms of the Department of Home Affairs. That being said, thank you very much. This meeting is adjourned.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Honourable Members. Thanks.
Thank you, Minister.
Thank you, Chair.